This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
The balance of the Saturday morning service of November the 30th, 1985, with Brother John McLennan, Brother Mac, teaching on attitudes which please God at the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Allergies, very often, most of the time, are related, rooted in unforgiveness and resentment. And here she had a terrible attack. She called me. She couldn't even breathe well enough to even tell me her name. I guessed. And here her parents had gone there. And we said the name of Jesus. And every time she said the name of Jesus, her voice became clearer. That swelling began to go down. But her parents had her sit in the car for 2 more hours while they finished the rodeo. So you see their self-centeredness. I mean, it was a rejection of her even yet. Well, the next day, she called, I saw her, she called me afterwards, and she said, you know, Ginny, she said, I felt so bad this visit had not gone the way I wanted it to go. I tried to please my mother. She kept picking on me and picking on me and picking on me. And she said, the morning that they left, she said, I cried out to them. I said, Mother, will you forgive me for receiving such rejection from you? See, she was the one that was hurting.
That's it.
She's the one that had anorexia. She's the one that couldn't build relationships with people. And her mother said, well, why couldn't you have combed your own hair? See, mother has the problem. And Angela said, and then the mother answered it. She said, you were only 3 years old. I guess you couldn't have combed your hair well. But Angela said, Mother, will you forgive me for receiving rejection? And her mother says, well, yeah. She turned to her father. She said the same thing. And he said, I never rejected you. You just misunderstood. And that's the way it was. It's the way I had thought it to be. I believe the Lord showed me that. Do you know she was set free from anorexia? She was set free from that compulsion to binge and the taking of laxatives and the vomiting when she got rid of the resentment and unforgiveness toward her mother and her dad.
That's it. Shall we stand? Any of those of you? Now, just wait. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Those of you that have to transact business with God, choosing to forgive parents, forgiving yourself for things that you have done, God has been speaking to you about something precisely in your life. And you could write down on a piece of paper a name, and under it, the happening that took place, the bitterness, resentment you have toward that person, and this morning you're choosing to forgive them, you're choosing to forgive that which happened, they brought into your life, you're asking God to forgive you for your bad attitude in that, you retorted, you got upset, you got mad. You're asking God to forgive you for your bad attitudes in that situation. Any area where God's been speaking to you and you have to transact business with Him, will you stand where you are? Now, you just pray. I think it'd be appropriate for us to pray. Appropriate for us to pray. With our heads bowed. Honey, do you have a prayer that you could pray? Usually you have a little prayer that helps us. So just worked it out. But you transact business with God as you're standing. You name the person. You name the person. Honey will lead us. She leads in this quite often in her counseling.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
And by an act of my will.
And by an act of my will.
I choose to forgive.
I choose to forgive.
Everyone.
Everyone.
And specifically, and you name the ones that you name, that you need to name in Jesus' name.
Yes, you name them.
You just name them under your breath.
So the devil hears it.
That's right. You're taking away the legal ground that Satan has in your life to torment you. All of these ways, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I forgive.
I forgive.
For everything.
For everything.
They have done to me.
They have done to me.
Or they have not done for me.
Or they have not done for me.
For everything they have said.
For everything they have said.
For everything they have not said.
for everything they have not said.
That I needed to hear.
That I needed to hear.
I forgive them.
I forgive them.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
That your word says.
That your word says.
That if I confess my sin.
That if I confess my sin.
You are faithful and just.
You are faithful and just.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness.
I confess to you.
I confess to you.
My rejection.
My rejection.
By others.
By others.
Rejecting myself.
Rejecting myself.
All unforgiveness.
All unforgiveness.
Of you.
Of you.
For allowing things to happen.
For allowing things to happen.
Forgiveness of other people.
Forgiveness of other people.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
For the anger I have felt.
For the anger I have felt.
For the hatred.
For the hatred.
For the jealousy.
For the jealousy.
For the envy.
For the envy.
For the bitterness.
For the bitterness.
Root it out of my life, Father.
Root it out of my life, Father.
Lay the axe to the root.
Lay the axe to the root.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And cleanse my life.
And cleanse my life.
From everything.
From everything.
That does not measure up.
That does not measure up.
To the image of Christ.
The image of Christ.
In me.
In me.
Thank you for my forgiveness.
Thank you for my forgiveness.
Your word says. That the love of God. Has been shed abroad.
Has been shed abroad.
In my heart.
In my heart.
By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost.
Also, Father. I ask your forgiveness.
I ask your forgiveness.
For everything I have done.
For everything I have done.
To hurt others.
To hurt others.
Or to hurt myself.
Or to hurt myself.
Forgive me for self-hatred.
Forgive me for self-hatred.
For self-destruction.
For self-destruction.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I receive your word.
I receive your word.
That I am accepted.
That I'm accepted.
In the Beloved.
In the Beloved.
Because you accept me.
Because you accept me.
Father God.
Father God.
I choose to accept myself.
I choose to accept myself.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Precious Father, you are witness to our praying.
Jesus.
Witness, Lord, to the transaction that took place within our hearts. And Lord, if you've placed upon us the name of a person to whom we must go, we will go to that one. We will be pleased to humble ourselves before that one and will ask their forgiveness. We will say, I choose to forgive. Will you please forgive me for what I have done? We will not point the finger at them. We'll just simply go to them humbly and say, will you please forgive me for what I have done? Take all the blame. Put it all on you, Jesus. And act like you would in their presence and love them. Give us the grace, Lord, to love them with that love that beareth all things, that believeth all things, that hopeth all things, that endureth all things. In Jesus' name. We'll be pleased to give you all the praise and all the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that well, wonderful chorus. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Come on, my brother Tommy. You're Billy. Oh, it's all right. Come on. G. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things
has done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can feast on your word. Now, Lord, we can feast on the bounties that have been provided for us by this beautiful camp. Thank you for those precious people in the kitchen, Lord, who have worked and have served you so willingly, so faithfully, to provide these bounties. We're grateful, our God. I have friends, I have relatives around the world as missionaries who would love to sit down to this meal, who would love to have a home-cooked meal like this. We have people that love you who haven't half what we've got to put on the table. Yet they praise you. They're soul winners. Yes. They're living in victory. Yes. And Lord, with all that we have, we are not living as we should. Will you forgive us, O God? Yes, forgive us. And we receive them as from your hand. For with the great privileges come great responsibilities. In Jesus' name. So bless these beautiful time together, this fellowship around the table. In thy name, amen.
Have some unfinished business from this morning's service. We're going to, for a few minutes, pick back up. Brother Mack is back up in the morning service, just a little place before he left off. And we're going to continue on for a few minutes here with the morning service. Brother Mack's going to come and pick back up, and we're going to deal for a little bit longer here with unforgiveness.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Glenn. Appreciate the privilege to be able to conclude. You remember this morning the steps back to forgiveness from bitterness. Searching your own heart. You're the custodian of your own life, dear friend. There's been a lot of input into that heart. A lot of responses, a lot of attitudes. You are responsible then to search out your own heart and find that which is not pleasing to God and bring it to the cross. We must emphasize that these deep root bitterness and expectancy that we have, beware of that deep-rooted bitterness whereby many are defiled. That may begin as a child, as a teenager. You're sowing and you're reaping. A question was asked of me during the noon hour. How do you account for the fact that as it says in Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. How is it that I reap? How is it that back there I'm sowing those seeds of bitterness and resentment, unforgiveness, in my relationship with my parents, perhaps, or with others, and now in the very person that I married and I love the most, I begin reaping. How does it work? All I could say is this. You take a corn of wheat and put it in the ground. And Jesus says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. I said to him in this so many words, you explain to me how the corn of wheat can be put in the ground. And the corn of wheat begins having its own roots. It then shoots forth the stalk, the blade. The full ear of corn comes. How does that work? There's a law within that dried up little piece of corn that would break your tooth if you try to chew on it. That's going to reproduce itself. And there is something within that which you have done as a child, irrespective of how we may be able to explain it, that is going to reproduce itself in your life, and you're going to reap a whirlwind from it. What is the hope then? The longer you allow this to be in your life, the greater will be the returns and greater the bitterness. And when all of this is in our lives, how can God use us? As we have been so well saying, I'm prepared for this. My dear brother Bill, I appreciate the way you prepare our hearts for the presentation of the word. We love you and we thank you. Let's just give him a hand at this point for our life. If we will live a holy life and shun the wrong and do the right, God has a ministry for every one of us. And it's incumbent upon us to be in that place of usableness. And so therefore, it's important for us to realize then that we can come to the cross and there at the cross find the reversing of all of this in Jesus' name. There can be the cleansing, there can be cutting off of this whole root system, and there can be forgiveness, and that harvest not be expected and not be realized. Follow me? That's where it is, at the cross. The blood of Jesus. You see, he was placed on the tree. It says in the Old Testament, curse everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the people of his day were convinced, the Pharisees and scribes, that once they put him on a tree, he's there in a place of curse. He could not be the Messiah, the one he claimed to be. But they put him on a tree that it might be fulfilled. Cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us. He took all of the weight out of our sin upon himself. All of that that we could ever sow has been placed on him. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That all of that might find its remedy, its cleansing by the cross. He took the punishment of a holy God for that. Therefore, there's not double indemnity. God's not going to punish his son, our substitute, and us too. So we come to him and say, Jesus, thank you for bearing this in your body on my behalf. Thank you, Jesus, I come to you. And I search my heart, and the Holy Spirit, who is the one who convicts, he's been sent into the world to convict us of sin. Not just the unbeliever, but the believer. As the word of God is presented, you search your own heart. We asked you to just take that manual experience of writing down. But some way, mentally, make a decision of what you're going to do. It's one thing to have mental assent. I believe. You know, when we were missionaries for a short time, we thought maybe we were going to start a Bible school down in the Lesser Antilles, or St. Vincent and Trinidad area. And when we were down there, I was amazed at how many people said, oh, we all believes. Yeah, we believes. I believe, man. I believe. You believe, yeah. We were all going to heaven, I guess, because we all believes. We believe. Well, you know, they were living like the devil. 90% of the people there were bastards. And you found that they're just living it up, all moral society. They were ungodly people, yet everyone believes. They have their Bibles on Sundays, and they all believes. I couldn't get across to them this whole principle that just believing is enough. So I got myself a basin of soapy water. At that time, I would draw chalk drawings for people to watch in public and so on in my younger days. And so I took some of my black chalk and put it on my hands. And I said, how many of you believe that this warm, soapy water is the best thing to get my hands clean? All the hands went up. When I'm preaching my sermon, about 10 minutes later, I said, oh, how many of you still are convinced that this warm, soapy water is the best thing to get my hands clean? Oh, yes, 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 yes. I said, do you notice they're still dirty? When I'm preaching for a few minutes, and 10 minutes later, how many of you are still convinced that this warm, soapy water is the best thing to get my hands clean? Oh, yes, yes, we never doubt that. I says, friend, I can believe that and go home with still dirty hands. I'm convinced, and you're convinced, that this soapy water will get my hands clean, and yet they're still dirty. You're convinced that you believe in Jesus as your Savior, and you've still got a dirty heart. You've got to do something with that believing. You've got to get down on your knees and confess your sin and claim Him as the only one who can die for your sin and wash your sin away. You've got to do something besides believing. Amen. It's the believing that acts. Friend, we believe that God has dealt something with you in your heart this morning. You've got to act on it. And that's why we're trying to say here in point two, to write it down. And then list under that which it might have been, whatever the item was. Then, was there something that you did? When you go to that person, you say, will you please forgive me for what I said to you or how I reacted to you? Will you please forgive me for my bad attitude to you? Remember that time when you met me in the parking lot and we had a little conversation? Would you please forgive me for the way I displayed a very unchristian attitude to you? Don't mention what he did. You're not there to vindicate yourself. You're there to humble yourself before that person and take the lowly spot. God will exalt you, but you take the humble spot. That's part of confession of sin. It must be as public as the sin is. If it was in a committee when you ladies were having a lemonade society or whatever it was you're meeting, and you had a meeting and you said something or did something or responded, make it as public as the sin. Your confession must always reach as far as where the sin. But no, if it's between you and your husband, don't you go before the church. We don't want that. The church isn't a place for a big confessional. It is a place where you meet God to learn how to deal with one another and be private, then you make it private. Also, ask God's forgiveness for your part. Repent. Promise God, I choose to forgive each one who's hurt me. I choose never to accept rejection again. I choose to accept the right attitude. Lord Jesus, begin to show me and teach me how I can have a godly attitude in every situation. Then go to anyone and ask their forgiveness. There it is. Now, I've asked my wife. I feel at this point that we ought to have a prayer again. And she's going to lead us in prayer to cover some more areas we didn't this morning. And then my brother Glenn is going to come. And he's going to flow too. As the Lord is leading him, he felt something else that should be done. I'm learning and watching my brother Glenn and how he operates in these areas too. And so could we just now move in the Spirit, quietly now, with our heads bowed. We know enough. We've seen enough. You have to transact the business, ladies and gentlemen. Young people, you have to transact the business. You have to believe that God has spoken to you this morning, and you have to deal with it. And I say this very carefully to you and very lovingly. I may have been strong in some of the things I've said, but I trust at the same time there comes across a love for all of you. I love you so much. I want you to reach this plane of walking in victory, overcoming this natural tendency to stand up for your rights and to say what you think should be said instead of letting God lead you in a soft answer that turns away wrath. I'm so desirous that you flow in this, that you'll shun the wrong and do the right, that we've come to this point. You must act. You must transact a business. You must make in your own heart a promise to God.
When I went up to the room, I had the sense that there was still unfinished business in this area, that we didn't cover the bitter expectancies and the bitter root judgments that we've made in actually bringing them to the cross. I want to read, just go through this so you know what we're going to pray. I'm just asking God to give you understanding so that you get the picture. I'm just going to go through this, and you listen, because I want you to know what you're going to pray, okay? We never know when somebody leads us in a prayer just what's coming next. I want you to understand what we're praying. Father, I ask forgiveness for any judgments I have made against my mother and father, or against any other person. Reveal them to me, Father. I really believe that some of these things that have gone on over our lifetime, we need to get down before God, because the Word says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. You know, Psalm 103:9 says, Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows every hurt, every wound, every unforgiveness, everything that's down in our subconscious. And if we get down before him and cry out to him to show us our heart as he sees it, he will. And he's a gentleman. He won't bring it all flooding back in one moment in a way that we could not handle it, because he deals gently with us as with children. So reveal them to me, Father, so I can repent and confess them to you, bringing them to the cross, and declare that the blood of Jesus cleanses them away, so that I shall no longer reap those judgments in my life. I ask you to reveal the bitter expectancies in my life that have caused me to pressure people close to me to behave in certain ways so that I will fulfill those expectancies. They're subconscious. We don't know that this is going on. We've sowed and we've forgotten what we sowed in the past. And I've seen this work in alcoholism. Someone who has had an alcoholic father judges the father for it and says, well, I'll never do that. But he reaps in a wife who criticizes him. He wants to get away. He wants to drown it all. He wants to forget. So he starts drinking. And it'll go down generation after generation. Also, familiar spirits are working in this area too. But what we want to do is bring to the cross those things that we have sowed, and the judgments that we're reaping. And then I want to pray this. Work in me, Father, renewing my mind. and transforming me so that new structures can be built in the relationships in my life, so that I may accept my family and others and love them just as they are, unconditionally, as you love me, Father. Okay? Let's just bow our heads and just do this in sincerity, in truth. You see, the word says that there's power of death and life in the tongue. And those that eat it, that love it, shall eat the fruit thereof. So words that we have spoken of death over somebody else, words that have been spoken against us have been death to us, have programmed us in certain areas. And we want to break these curses in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We bind you, Satan, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power to steal the word, to blot out of people's memories in the name of Jesus. We bind your power. We take authority over the principalities and powers that would try to defeat this work in Jesus' name. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. Would you follow me, please? Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask forgiveness.
For any judgments
I have made
against my father,
against my mother,
against a teacher,
or any other person,
reveal them to me,
dear Father,
so that I can repent
and confess them to you.
I bring them to the cross.
I break the curse
of those judgments.
And I declare
that the blood of Jesus
cleanses them away,
breaks them,
so that I shall no longer
reap those judgments
in my life.
Father,
I ask you to reveal
bitter expectancies
in my life
that have caused me
to pressure people
close to me
to behave in certain ways
so that I will fulfill
those expectancies.
I bring them to the cross
and ask that the blood of Jesus
wipe them
completely away
in Jesus' name.
Work in me, Father,
renewing my mind,
transforming my behavior,
so that new structures
can be built
in the relationships
in my life.
Help me
to accept my family
and others
just as they are
and love them
just as they are
unconditionally.
Just as you love me,
my Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus and stand as a priest over this afternoon, and I take authority over every spirit here in Jesus' name in these areas, and I bind them to the day of judgment and ask for the angels to take them and keep them till you shall judge them at that day. Now, according to Galatians 3:13, I break the curses of ancestral inheritance over these people because Jesus became a curse so we didn't have to bear the curses. And in Jesus' name, I break the curses in Jesus' name. The curse of unforgiveness, the inherited curse of unforgiveness, I rebuke that and I bind it and I command it to come out in Jesus' name. The curse that we have gotten our own self in because of unforgiveness, I bind that power and break it and command it to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. Spirit of unforgiveness, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Any unforgiveness that held against anyone, I command that spirit to come out and forgiveness to come in its place. Loose these people. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break that dominion. I loose them in the name of the Lord. spirit of rejection, you spirit of inherited rejection, I rebuke you. I command you to loose these people. Come out in Jesus' name. Rejection has come in since you've been born. I rebuke that spirit in the name of the Lord. Right. You foul spirit of rejection, I bind you. I command you to set these people free. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come out. Come on out. I bind you to dead judgment. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of bitterness. Spirit of bitterness. I rebuke the spirit of bitterness. You foul spirit of bitterness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of bitterness, come out. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out of these people. Come out of every one of us. Come out. I loose us. I set us free. Come out in the name of the Lord. Spirit of bitterness, come out. Come out. I rebuke you. Bitterness, come out. Bitterness against father and mother. Bitterness against a school teacher. Bitterness against your children. I rebuke you. Come out. Spirit of bitterness. Spirit of bitterness, come out. Come out. Along with that, spirit of selfishness. Spirit of selfishness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Spirit of criticism. I bind you, you foul spirit of criticism. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. I break your power and dominion over these people. Come out. I break it over every one of us that's present here. Loose us. Come out. Come out. Spirit of criticism. Come out. Judgmental. Judgmental spirit. I bind you. I break your dominion over these people. Come out. Come out. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Get rid of it. Get rid of it in Jesus' name. In judgmental spirit. Come out. Come out, I bind you, I break your dominion. Come out, loose these people. Loose us in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. Fault finding, spirit of fault finding, I bind you, I break your dominion over us. Come out, loose us, set us free. Spirit of fault finding, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord, I break your powers. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move, move. Spirit of fault finding, come out. Spirit of gossip, come out. Come out, move, move. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. Now. Bitter root judgment. Yes, you spirit of bitter root judgment. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Bitter root expectancy. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Move. Move. I bind you to dead judgment. Loose these people. Loose us. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Loose us. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Move. Move. Come out. Come out. Move. Move. Rage. Rage and anger involved in these areas. Rage and anger. Rage and anger. Rage and anger. Come out. Come on. Move. Move. Anger. Anger. Spirit of anger. Spirit of rage. Come out. Come on, move, move, come out. Come out, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on, move. Come on, move, come out. Come out, fault finding, unforgiveness, fault finding, unforgiveness. Come on, come on, come out, rejection, bitterness. Come on, move, move, come out, unforgiveness. Come on, move, come out in Jesus' name. Criticism, judgmental, judgmental. Come on, gossip, come out, all of you. I break your power and dominion over us. Come on, take a deep breath. Let's get rid of it all. Come on, loose us. Loose us. Satan, we bind you to dead judgment. We break your powers over us. We loose us. We set us free from these in these areas of our life. We break the dominion over us in Jesus' name. Come on, move. Come on. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Think of anything else, Brother Mac? Memory, yes. Memory recall. You spirit of memory recall. I bind you. You foul spirit of memory recall. I break your dominion over us. We will not recall these things. Satan, you won't bring them back to our mind and torment them with us. You tormenting spirit of memory recall. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Lucius, I break the spirit of condemnation. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your powers. Come out. Move. Come on. Move in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Father, I thank you for victory. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for setting us free. I praise you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. We have a sister here this afternoon that the Lord has given her a song, and I wish she'd come right now. Sister, come on and let's sing that chorus. The Lord gave her a song, and I believe in sharing the body ministry coming forth, and whatever God's done in your life to share it, that you can share it with other people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Give them the words first.
Okay. The words of this song start out, He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who can set her free, and I'm the only one who can. And the second verse is the same, except right in the beginning. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the everlasting Father. I'm the God of Abraham. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who will set her free, and I'm the only one who can.
Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful?
But go tell all Israel I am the great I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who will set her free. I'm the only one who can. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who will set her free. I'm the only one who can. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the everlasting Father. I'm the God of Abraham. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who will set her free. I'm the only one who can. Okay. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who will set her free. I'm the only one who can. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the everlasting Father. I'm the God of Abraham. He said, go tell all Israel, I am the great I am. I am the one who will set her free. I'm the only one who can.
Praise the Lord. Brother Mac's children have written a song, of course, and I think I've been redeemed. And we'll ask Sister to sing it through us one time, and then you follow the words as the Lord's.
I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. I've been redeemed from the curse with him. He took all my sickness so I can walk in hell. He took my poverty and he gave me boundless wealth. He defeated the devil and gave me victory. And now that he died, but then he rose again to give his life to me. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. I've been redeemed from the curse of sin. He took all my sickness so I can walk in hell.
He took my poverty and he gave me boundless wealth. He defeated the devil and gave me victory. He died, but then he rose again and he healed me. I've been
redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to me
life and life abundantly. I've been
redeemed from the curse through him.
Now this time we'll start the chorus again and then sing the second verse, that second line under there, and finish up with the chorus again. Yes.
first words are underneath the music.
I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. I've been redeemed from the curse through him.
He turned my down and gave me
peace. He took my down
to fear, so now I can believe. He washed away my hurt with his blood. He sent a comforter, Holy Spirit from above.
Beautiful.
I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. I've been redeemed from the curse through him.
That verse again.
I've been
redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. I've been redeemed from the curse through him.
Second one.
He took my confusion and gave me his peace. He took my doubts and fears. So I can believe. He washed away my sin, and is a relief. He sent the Comforter, Holy Spirit from above.
I've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly.
I've been
redeemed from the curse of sin. I've been redeemed
from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from the power of sin. Jesus came to give me life and life abundantly. I've been redeemed from the curse through.
Man, that's glorious. We have quite a few very outstanding testimonies here on the campground. Sandy, come here. You don't need your shoes on. You don't need your shoes on. This is holy ground. The Lord did a miracle for her a few years back. Pull your sleeve up as far as it'll go.
Let's see. Who can guess which hand got caught in the post hole digger?
Which arm got tore off?
Which arm got tore off? Can you tell?
Which arm did the doctors tell her that she would never use? Which arm did the doctors tell her she could never pick up anything with?
And never play my omnichord to praise the Lord. And they said that I'd never have any use of my arm again. It was cut off.
In fact, it was a miracle of God. They were going to cut it off and they wouldn't let them.
You see?
Hallelujah.
It was about, it'll be 11 years in April that it happened in Nebraska. And I was working with a post hole digger that didn't have a shield from the back of the tractor where the power takeoff is to the auger. And you farm folks know all about that. And the belt on my sweater got caught in that thing, and it took me into it, and it stopped this diesel. It was a 560 International with the blower on it. Do you know what that means? It was a heavy-duty tractor. It won all the tractor pulls. Anyway, I was taken into a state of being where I was had an opportunity to go on with into a next life if I wanted to. And I said, no, I don't want to go. I haven't finished. I haven't finished what I started. I haven't done anything right yet. And I knew I'd failed to witness for the Lord. And I just kept putting it off. It wasn't that I didn't want to. It's just that I never got around to it. And so I said, no, I'm not going. And I didn't go. And meanwhile, the man who was giving me the CPR on the rescue unit, I've been in this, I guess, it was 8 minutes before the rescue unit even got there, and they thought I was already dead. But, in fact, my brother says, why don't you just go ahead and cut her arm off the rest of the way because we can't get her off of this thing. But someone on the rescue unit said, no, I've seen things like this before and you just never know. So let's just try to bring her back. So the man who gave me the CPR was the local butcher. And it's a good thing he was used to that sort of thing. And he just finished his EMT training the night before. And so Lord had him there. And so they proceeded to bring me back to life. And meanwhile, I was resisting death. And the thing I want you to know is that before I went into unconsciousness on that postal digger, I really did think I was dying. And I said, Jesus, because I was glad to be going home. But I did say his name. And that is what brought his life, his power to that situation and turned things around. And so I was spared from death. And a number of other occurrences, like they were out of Rh negative blood at the little local hospital where I was taken to, and the nurse who had just come back on duty happened to have Rh negative blood. So she'd been on vacation for 2 weeks, and that was her first afternoon back. And then the doctor in they needed a specialist because I'd broken 5 ribs in my back, and my lung was punctured and I was bleeding internally, and I was, you know, dying again, and they needed to get that out, and they needed a specialist. So they called Lincoln, Nebraska, which was about 20 minutes flight away, and the doctor that they needed was at the airport doing landings and takeoffs in his airplane. He just happened to be there doing landings and takeoffs. So he hurried right out to this little hospital where I was, and he came in, and of course I interviewed him. I was really suspicious, you know, of everything, and so then he took care of the situation, and then I don't know, they took bets that I would never even live to get to the main hospital in Lincoln, but I made it. And then the very finest orthopedic surgeon in Lincoln happened to be on call. So he's the one that put everything back together. And during the time they put my arm back on, they realized that the radial nerve had been severed, and it's the nerve that goes around this bone. And it's the nerve that causes your hand and your fingers, your wrist, to have motion. And it was severed. There was no trace of it. And because this bone was broken, all this, you could see, you know, what damage there was here. And so they said she'll never have the use of her arm. Most likely, you know, her arm won't grow back on. But if, a 99 chance out of 100, it won't even grow back on. But if it does, she won't have use of it because that nerve was gone. But the best we can do is fuse her wrist, and maybe she'll have some motion in her thumb. So that was the best they could offer my parents for hope. Well, I told the Lord, Lord, I've got to have my arm. I have 4 children that I have to raise. And I have to peel potatoes, and I have to wash dishes, I have to wash, brush hair and spank bottom, and I need both arms. Gotta hold them with one hand and spank them with the other one. And I said, I need both arms. I know it's not too hard for you. And people prayed for me everywhere, all over people prayed for me. People came to see me in the hospital that I never saw before or since, and they prayed for me. There was so much prayer going up for me, and I just kept getting well and getting better and stronger. And the prognosis was, in the beginning, I would be there 6 months and in the wheelchair after that, and then on maybe a crutches, but I'd never be worth much. And that my back would take a long time to straighten and everything. Well, instead of being there 6 months, I was out in 5 weeks, and I walked out. And it was the Lord that healed me, because there was no medicine, no doctor could have done that, but Jesus. And then I started physical therapy, and they wanted to get as much life back into my arm as they could get. But one day I lifted my wrist, and I called my physical therapist over to look at it. He says, that's not possible. You can't do that. I said, I just did it. And he put his hand on top of mine, and I lifted it too again. And so he got so excited, because he knew it couldn't have been anything he did. It was too soon. Even if this nerve had grown again, it grows 1 millimeter a week. This nerve comes from here, and the nerve comes from here. They go like rubber bands when they break and they snap back. And it would have taken a year for it to regenerate and grow long enough to meet. And the ends of those nerves would have had to fight each other in that mass of tissue And it's like the frayed ends of a rope. Those ends would have had to match up. It's not possible in the natural, but the Lord Jesus did it for me. And I know he did it, and nobody can talk me out of it that he did it. And they said that, they didn't have much hope for me. One man made a statement, I wouldn't be much good for dog food, is what they said. And see, I had to break that curse off of me. Because of what the doctor said. He didn't mean me any harm, but he just wanted to not, get my hopes up too high. But I knew Jesus could heal me, and he just has continued to heal me and give me strength. And now I'm so happy to be here, because one of my jobs is to type names into the mailing list and to send out that little voices of his excellent glory and blast the devil off the face of this earth. I'm going to do him more harm than he did me. In Jesus' name.
Sandy is one of our big helps here, and she types like lightning with both hands and never makes a mistake hardly. Well, we have more testimonies. I'll not call Becky up here this evening, but she's a living testimony also of the healing power of the Lord. She was burned over about 90% of her body, and the Lord restored her. Huh? 64% of her body. And the Lord marvelously restored her and healed her. And I'll let her give her testimony here maybe Christmas time. We'll surprise her one evening. But she has a marvelous testimony of the grace of God and what he's done with and how he used that for his glory.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that through Jesus and his blood we are redeemed.
Yes.
I praise you for it this morning. I thank you for the blood that cleanses and washes us today. Father, I praise you for it. I thank you for it. And I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and are doing for us as we submit ourselves unto thee according to your word. I praise you for it today. Father, I thank you for your anointing that's rested over us these days, that you've come and tabernacled with us as we've lifted our voices and our hearts unto thee in praise and worship, magnifying and declaring that Jesus is Lord of our lives and Lord of this place and Lord of all, Lord, wherever we may travel as we take Jesus with us. Father, I thank you for the presence of the Lord here with us today. Thank you for the anointing to rest over the ministry as they minister unto us this morning. Father, I thank you for this nation. I thank you for our president and for those in authority over us. For your word says that you raise up and that you put down. Father, I bless those that you've raised up over us for this time. Father, I pray the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost over President Reagan today, that the word of the Lord shall come to him, Lord. Help him, Lord, as he goes to services today, that he'll be ministered to, and the word of the Lord shall prick his heart, and he shall confess that you are Lord of every situation.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for it, Father. Father, I bless his cabinet and others that are advisors to him. Father, help him to seek advice from men full of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for it, Father. Father, I bless him today, and I bless... Father, we come against the debauchery that's in this nation. We come against all that's contrary to the word of the Lord. I bind up the powers of Antichrist, the powers of Satan that are determined to destroy this nation. But, Father, we thank you that there's a people standing forth that's making Jesus Lord of lords and God of gods, and that this nation will stand because he stands in his people, and his people are repenting and calling on the name of the Lord. And that they're being washed afresh in the blood of the Lamb as they see that they need to repent and call out unto the Lord.
Yes.
Father, give us the word of the Lord to bring conviction upon our hearts and lives, that we'll turn and repent of our wicked ways and call on the name of the Lord. I praise you for it today, Father, and I thank you for it. Father, I pray your anointing and blessing over all those who are traveling this morning, over those who will yet travel before this day is over. Father, I thank you for the joy of the Lord to be there. They shall go forth rejoicing and praising the name of the Lord, magnifying he and being thankful for that which they have received in these days that we've been together. Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it, too. I thank you for your presence that rests here with us as we've gathered to praise you this morning and to declare and make you once again Lord over our lives. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's beginning to rain. Find the voice from the Father. Sing her soul ever weep. come drink of his water. I am coming, dear, for my spirit on your sons and your daughters.
If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky.
It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain.
I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God's doing a mighty work. I tell you, we've been having such a wonderful time here. The presence of a God has been here so beautifully flowing among us, from one body to the other, from one temple to the other. That's just an outpouring of the Spirit. We're rejoicing in the Lord to know that our God so loved us that He gave us His only Son. And not only His Son, but His Spirit to lead us and to guide us, to comfort us and to keep us and lead us into all truth. Into all truth. And He's doing it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.